Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently studying Luke chapter 7 in a series called Encounter. No matter what walk of life you come from, I'm sure that you can remember the first time that you had met Jesus. Whether at a church service and hearing about him, or searching for answers on your own and finding him, I'm sure there have been moments where Jesus met you right where you were. In this series, we look at a few encounters that Jesus had with people and what happens to their lives as a result. Feel free to open your Bibles to Luke 7 as we hear from Pastor Nate in this series, Encounter.
Well, we are continuing through our series, Encounter, and we've been talking about what happens when you meet Jesus. And in this series, we are learning that an encounter with Jesus can change your life and your eternity. I'm going to say that again because I don't think it had the effect that I wanted it to have. An encounter with Jesus can change your life and your eternity. All we have to do is meet him. All we have to do is be in his presence. And in this series so far, we've seen that an encounter with Jesus can change lives physically. We saw him perform miracles. We've seen Jesus show how much he loves people. We saw that with the woman who was leaving a town called Nain. Her son had just died. Jesus showed up right at the right moment in order to raise her son back to life. And we've seen Jesus put an end to doubt. We saw last week that John the Baptist, this great hero of the faith, began to doubt his relationship with God because of his circumstances. And we talked about what do we do when our circumstances cause us to doubt our Savior. And tonight, we're going to see the attitude we need to have in order to have an impactful encounter with Jesus. We're going to see the attitude that we need to have in order to have an impactful encounter with Jesus. Just being in his presence doesn't guarantee an encounter. And what I mean by that is it doesn't guarantee life change. We can miss out on what God wants to do in our lives just by not being aware of what's going on. Have you ever like looked down at your phone and missed something hilarious that your friend did? Like you like look down for 1 second, then all of your other friends start laughing and you're like, dang it. Like it wasn't even worth it. Snapchat wasn't even that funny in that moment. Like you look down for one moment and you miss something. And in our relationship with God or as we encounter with Jesus, because he wants to encounter you, he wants to have relationship with you. If you aren't paying attention and if you don't have the right attitude, you can miss out on what God wants to do in your life and through your life. And it goes by so quick. These moments happen so quick. So we need to make sure that we have the right attitude. We're looking at Jesus the right way. So that way, when he does show up, we'll see him for who he is, and it will have an impact on our lives. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I've called this message, It's a Heart Thing. It's a Heart Thing. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And I'll read it to you, and then we'll talk about it. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with... Actually, let's back up. Let's go back to verse 34. This is what Jesus has to say that the Pharisees said about him. All right? So this is what the Pharisees said about Jesus. Back up to verse 34. It says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They're like, this Jesus cat, he is out of control. He's a drunk. He's eating all the time. He's a loser. And then it says, but wisdom is justified for all her children. Next verse. Then one of the Pharisees, one of the dudes that were just hating on him, one of the dudes that just said, this guy's a drunk, he's a loser, this guy. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus said, heck no, you're an idiot. No, he said, and he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her, with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Such a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, so this dude just said it in his heart. He didn't even say it out loud. Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, I got something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? So these two guys owe this one guy money. One owes him 50. The other guy owes him a 500. And he says, forget it. Your slate's clean. You don't owe me anything to both of them. Which one of those two guys would be more thankful? And then he asks you, what do you think? And he says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. The guy's like, well, the guy that got the bigger bailout, the guy that owed 500, he would be happier. He would be more thankful. Like, that's obvious. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, he's facing the woman, talking to Simon. He says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who can even forgive sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is a pretty powerful story that unfolds. And in this story, we really see two encounters that happen. We see one that makes an impact and the other that really doesn't make a difference. And the difference we see is a heart thing. Like you know when you ask your parents for something, the way you ask them determines the answer that you'll get? You know that, right? The way that you ask them, like you could go into your parents and ask them like, hey, can I go hang out with my friends tonight? And the way that you ask them, not only will they say no to that, they'll also ground you. Right? Like you can go in with the wrong attitude, the wrong behavior, and as a result, not only do you not get what you want, but you get the exact opposite of what you want. Because it's a heart thing, it's an attitude thing, it's the way that you present yourself. But you come in the right way and you're like, Mom, have you lost some weight today? Because you look great. Or Dad, you say, did you pack on some? You're looking more muscular, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, I have been. Haven't changed in the channel faster these days. It's an attitude, and as a result, you might see something different. It's totally a heart thing. It's an attitude thing. And in this story, we have this woman who's called a sinner, and then we have a Pharisee who is considered a saint. These two polar opposite people on the spectrum of life and on the spectrum of perspective. Both of them were with Jesus. Both of them sat at the same table. Both of them ate the same meal. Both of them were there the same night. But these two encounters were totally different. And the reason the result was different was because of their hearts in the situation. They had different attitudes and motives going into the encounter. And as a result, the encounter was totally different. Now, the first thing I want you to see and the attitude we need to have in order to have an impactful encounter with Jesus is awareness. Awareness. And when we know who we are, we will be aware of what we need. We need to have awareness, because if we know who we are, we will be aware of what we need. Have you ever gone to the grocery store? Anybody ever gone to the grocery store? Anybody gone to the grocery store like because somebody sent you to the grocery store, like you had to get something? All right, well, have you ever gone to the grocery store unsure of what you needed? Like you went, you're like, I'm not really sure what I need. This is every time I go to the grocery store without Hannah. Like I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And it's even worse if you go hungry. Did you know that? Like the worst time to go shopping is hungry, because when you're hungry, because you're like, this looks good. You're like, you are never going to eat that except for right this moment. But just because you're hungry right now, you keep buying stuff you don't even need. Anyways, when I go to the grocery store, I need a list of exactly what we need. If I could get a map, that would be even better. Like what I need and where it is that I'm going to find it. Because if I don't, one, I'm going to get lost. Two, I'm going to get confused. And three, I'm going to buy things we didn't need. Like, I'm like, okay, she said milk. Like, this kind of looks like milk. And I end up getting, like, goat milk or something. She's like, what even is that? There's a difference of going with a purpose and aware of what you need than going aimless and unaware, right? You just begin to wonder, like, I guess we could use this. With this encounter, we have two people with two different attitudes. First, let's talk about the saint. The saint was the Pharisee. The Pharisee is the reason Jesus was in this situation. We're told that this Pharisee, this guy, invited him into his house for dinner. Which, when we look at the text before, when we look at the section before, it's totally weird and confusing that the Pharisee would invite him over, right? We've got this guy that had hated on Jesus. All the Pharisees hated on Jesus. And now he's invited him over for dinner. And we really have no reason, or we're not told the reason he invited Jesus over. All we know is that Jesus shows up. But the Pharisee in this text is the intended target for Jesus, right? He's the intended target. He's the dude that said, hey, Jesus, would you come over from my house for dinner? Now, the Pharisees, to understand who they were, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They knew the scriptures. In fact, it was common for the Pharisees to have the first five books of the Bible memorized. I think the first five books of the Bible completely memorized. Like they could, like you would say, like, oh yeah, what does Exodus 31 verse 17 say? And they'd be like, it says this. And you're like, what? Why do you know that? They knew the whole first five books of the Bible. They also knew the law of God. In other words, they knew what you needed to do and not do in order to please God. They were looked at by other people as the holiest people of the day. That when a Pharisee walked in the room, everybody acknowledged them. They were like the celebrities of their day. And this guy invites Jesus over, and we don't know this guy's intentions for inviting Jesus over, but nothing really happened for him while Jesus was in his house, right? The Pharisee, the saint, invites him over, and this whole encounter happens, and really, other than him getting kind of rebuked by Jesus, nothing happens for this guy. Jesus spends all his time hanging out with the second character, and that's the sinner, this unnamed woman who just showed up at the party. She wasn't invited. Like, how weird is that? Like, here they are having this nice dinner. They're talking, the Pharisee with Jesus. And all of a sudden, this well-known sinner shows up and just, like, breaks into the party. She wasn't invited. And you can tell that the people were awkward and embarrassed that she was there. They're like, don't you know who she is? Ooh. And you're letting her touch you? Ooh. Because we're told that she was a sinner. Now, the crazy thing about this is the Pharisee has a name, right? His name was Simon. The sinner, she's not given a name. We know one thing about her. She was a sinner. Think about that for a moment. Her life was defined by what she had done. Her life, all they care to say about this woman is, ooh, she is a sinner. Now, the thing is we all fall under that category. We're all sinners. But wouldn't it be horrible if everywhere you went, like you had to introduce yourself as a sin that you struggle with? Like, hi, my name's, I lie all the time. Like, it's like, what? That's, what are you saying? Like, that would be horrible to be defined by what you had done. And this woman, she's defined by her sin, but she shows up with a purpose because she came to meet Jesus. Maybe she heard about his power. Maybe she heard about the love and compassion he had on people. Whatever she had heard about Jesus caused her to have a desire to come in and meet him because she knew that an encounter with him could potentially change something about her life. She knew who she was and she knew what she needed. She was aware of her sinfulness and she knew that Jesus could change all of that. Listen, if we want to have an impactful encounter with Jesus, we need to recognize who we are and our need for him. When we're aware of our own sinfulness and we're honest with who we are and what we're lacking, we'll see our need for Jesus. The problem is oftentimes that we don't recognize our need for him and we're unwilling to adjust when we are in need. But because Jesus can't give us what we need if we don't admit our need for him. That's the problem with so many people, is they won't recognize their need for Jesus. Maybe they're convinced that they're not really that sinful. I don't really sin. I'm not that bad. I'm not like them. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like this woman, it doesn't say what her sin was. All it said was that she was a sinner. It doesn't matter what you've done. The matter of the fact is, if you've sinned, you are a sinner. It's just the way it goes. And until we recognize our need for Jesus and we come to him with an attitude that says, God, I'm aware of who I am. Like, I've lived with me for all these years. I know my struggles. I know my doubts. I know my sinfulness. I'm aware of my problem. Until we come to God with that attitude, we will never have a lasting encounter with him. So many people, they come to Jesus just because it's something to do. They come to church just because, I don't know why, they just come. Without an awareness of who they're meeting with, without an awareness of what he can do in their life if they're aware of who he is. The sinner had a powerful encounter with Jesus. The Pharisee watched. He watched God work, but missed out on it in his own life because he wasn't aware of what he needed. He showed up. He was at the dinner party too, but nothing happened for him. He showed up and nothing impactful changed in his life because he watched while God worked. Listen, don't watch while God works in other people's lives. Let him work in your life. Come with an awareness and say, God, I want you to work in my heart. I recognize my need for you. I recognize my own doubts, my own sin, my own failures. I need you. Come with an awareness and let God work in your life. She came aware of her sin. As a result, Jesus addressed it. The second thing we need to have in our heart to have an encounter is humility. When you're humble, God can show you honor. Humility. It's interesting what this lady does when she meets Jesus and the humility involved for her to do what she did. We're told three things that she does. First, we're told that she washed his feet. Now, specifically, we're told that she washed his feet with her tears. Now, this idea of washing somebody's feet in their culture was a sign of honor. In their time, their roads were made of dirt and they wore sandals. And as a result, their feet got dirty. Like, that makes total sense. And so it was common for the host of the house to ask the guest if he would want water to wash their feet. And what that would do, it would comfort them. Because it's like, got all the dirt off your feet. Like, have you noticed, like, when your feet cool down, you begin to cool down? Like, you take shoes and socks first thing to go when you're hot, right? No, just me? Okay, anyways. That's why we wear flip-flops all the time in Florida. Anyways, wash the feet. It's comfortable, but also it was a sign of honor. It was show that they were honored into their home. They're welcome in their home. I honor you. I'm glad that you're here. And so they would wash their feet. And this woman, she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She was so humbled in his presence that she wept and wiped his feet. The second thing we're told is that she kissed his feet. While she was washing him, she kissed his feet. It was common when a guest entered a house that you would greet that person with a kiss. Probably something on the cheek. And what it was a sign of peace and of friendship. You shut up and it was the sign that you're like, I'm so glad that you're here. It's a high five of their day. It was something that was, there was a friendship involved. There was a recognition like, I'm glad you're here and you're welcome here. And the woman, while she knelt at Jesus' feet, she continued to kiss his feet. And the third thing we're told is that she anointed his feet. This was uncommon. And what usually they did was they would anoint the guest's head with oil. It was really rare, probably not at all, that somebody would anoint their feet with oil. It was usually somebody's head. And it was a sign of respect. It was a sign of recognition and honoring this person. But this woman, because of her humility, was bowed before Jesus and she anointed his feet. And all of these things that she did was the Pharisee's job to do when Jesus entered the house. And Jesus even calls him out on it. Look at verse 46. He says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. He's like, I'm the guest here and you gave me no water for my feet. And he says, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. He says, you gave me no kiss. There's no friendship here. There was no, hey, how you doing? There was no friendship. He says, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. He says, you didn't anoint my head with oil. There was no respect. There was no honor when I walked in the house. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. The Pharisee didn't honor Jesus, but this woman humbled herself and gave great honor to him. Listen, when she encountered Jesus, she was humbled and she worshiped him. And humility is the key to an impactful encounter. We need awareness of who we are, but humility allows us to recognize that Jesus has what we need. It's one thing to know you need something. It's another thing to know where you need to go to get what you need, right? It's one thing like, man, I'm hungry. It's another thing to say like, I know what I want for lunch. I never know what I want for lunch. Like, I'll like drive around forever and decide, I'll just wait till dinner. Like, it's one thing to be hungry. It's another thing to know what you need and where to go to get what you need. And when we humble ourselves before God, he can give us what we need. James chapter 4, verse 10 says it like this. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself, lower yourself before God, and when you lower yourself, God will raise you up. In order to go up, we need to humble ourselves before God. This is worship and total surrender to him.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife, Hannah, on how we could put this into practice.
I loved the idea from today's message about awareness.
Yeah.
And such a good point and such a good thought, because really I feel like I'm not that aware of what the Lord has for me just on a day-to-day basis. I feel like I get big picture stuff, but I don't feel like just I'm always that aware. And so my question is, how often do you think we even are aware? And for people like me who don't feel very aware, how can we be more aware?
Such a great question. And to be honest, I don't know if I'm ever fully aware of what God's doing, and especially if what I need. I think we look at our circumstances and we can assume, or we can sort of figure out what we think we need.
Right.
But at the end of the day, are we aware of what God wants for us? And I think, so the first part is, I don't know how fully aware we will ever be. But I think there are things that we can do to be more aware. And I think it begins with looking and being aware of what God is doing as a whole. What's God doing right here on planet Earth as we speak? Well, God's building his kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom is inside of us, that God is building his kingdom here and now. Also, we know that God is building his church. Jesus said that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Jesus is seeking to win the lost. He wants people that don't know him to come to relationship with him. He's planning his return. The Bible talks about that we can hasten the day of Christ's return by the way that we live. So there's things that God's doing on the earth right here, right now. And I think when we become aware of what God's doing on the earth, then we can be a part of what God's doing on the earth. And so we see, okay, he's building his church. How can I be a part of his church? Yeah. He's seeking to reach the lost. How can I be a part of God seeking to reach the lost? He's planning. He wants us to hasten the day. How can I live to make sure that I'm ready for Christ's return? There's so many things that we can do when we become aware of what God's doing. And when we're aware of what God's doing, then we can see specifically, we can be aware of what God's doing in our own life. When we see things big picture, kind of like you mentioned, we can sometimes, when we see the big picture, we can zero in on what God's doing here and now. And so I think it starts with just an awareness of what God's doing at large, and then allowing that to transfer into our own personal lives. Okay, this is what God's doing as a whole, so this is what I'm going to be doing as I seek to be a part of what God's doing.
So on that topic of awareness, I love how in the study you talked about there's the awareness, and then you talked about the Pharisee who just observes, or the religious leader that just is observing what happens versus being really fully aware of what's going on. And I think we can do that a lot. We can look out and see, like, oh, people are following Jesus or doing this and that for the Lord. But how can we go from just observing? How can we make sure we're not observers, but that we're a part of it?
It's a great question. You know, I think that happens a lot, even in church. You know, you watch people, we go to church, and you see some people during worship fully participating in what God's doing. They're experiencing the presence of the Lord. Their hands are raised. God's fully ministering to them. And then you watch other people that are observing as God works.
Wow.
And what happens is when you're simply observing, you're missing out on the fullness of what God's doing. I love to watch people engage in worship. I love to watch people engage in Bible study and to see God transforming them or speaking to them. And sometimes I think we go to church with an expectation like, I better get something. Like, God, you better speak to me, or pastor, you better bring it for me because I need something. Rather than going with the heart that says, God, you're in this place, you want to minister to me, and whatever it is, even if it doesn't seem like it's necessarily appropriate for me personally, I'm going to trust that this is for me here and now. And maybe it's for me for the future. Yeah. Maybe the message that I heard this past Sunday wasn't for my current situation, but it's for a future situation. Or maybe it's for a situation that a friend of mine's going to go through that the truths that I learned this weekend are going to help me invest in them. And really, that's just a matter of our own heart and our own attitude and just saying, God, I'm aware that your presence is here. God, I'm aware of what you're doing on planet Earth. God, I'm aware of who you are and what you're capable of. And because I'm aware, I'm going to come in with that attitude that says, okay, God, I want to be a part of it. I don't want to just observe it, but I actually want to participate in it. And when we have that attitude and we have that mindset, I think one, God's going to do way more in us, but also God's going to do way more through us because we're looking out. We sort of have the mind of Christ. Philippians talks about having the mind of Christ, seeing things and seeing people as God sees them so that we don't miss out on what God's actually doing.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.